This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
But right now, Knicks fans are excited. They've advanced to the second round of the playoffs for the third consecutive season. We will get to a moment in this game, a play in this game, that I believe helped the Knicks win and was a huge break for Tom Thibodeau. But let's get to some of your calls, including Mike and Dumont. How are you, Mike?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
I think you guys are missing a huge part about the call between Breen and Frazier and Ian Eagle is that this is the last call between Frazier and Breen in the playoffs. And
yes,
it ends with a double bang and the Knicks winning the way that they did.
You're right.
And Tiki, come on, man. You got to pick one here. We can't be sitting on the fence anymore. You got to pick which one is the best call.
Which was the best call, Tiki? Breen and Frazier or Ian Eagle?
It's easily the Breen and Frazier then.
Oh, well, I don't know if it'd be that easy.
Yeah, because it had depth.
It did have depth.
And I was bothered by the silence.
And so that's on Grant Hill, then. You're mad at Grant.
I agree. 100%.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's why I asked who the hell it was.
I also think, and our last caller pointed out, that the rules of the NBA is that you get local broadcasts for one round. And then once the second round begins, it's exclusively nationally, which, trust me, will annoy people. Because once it's a national broadcast, there will be complaints. But there's something else. There's another aspect of that that needs to be brought up. And I'm not sure how many people are aware of it. But next year, the new NBA TV deal involving Peacock and NBC means that zero rounds will be covered by local TV.
Is that right? Is
over. And
wow.
So last, did you guys know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
That is a part of the new TV deal. So last night's Breen Frazier call on MSG is the final time in the history of the New York Knicks that they will have a playoff game broadcasted on MSG.
So you mean to tell me next year we could get a Knicks first round game that might be exclusively on Peacock?
Peacock.
Somebody going to tell Joe that?
That will be very confusing. I'm not sure how the playoffs are laid out, to be fair. The only thing I know for sure about next year is that that was it. Like, that's the last time we're ever going to hear Breen and Frazier together on MSG doing a local postseason game.
Wow.
And that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it definitely does.
I like the option last night. Like, the way I consume this is I would check in on Ian because I'm a big Ian Eagle fan, obvious reasons. But I would end up listening to Breen and Frazier, and I kind of like the option, the optionality of it.
I don't know if we'll ever get a world where this exists, but a lot of people crush the Apple TV broadcast for various reasons. But they give you the option now for the local radio call.
Is that gone? It can't be gone now.
What's gone?
What you're saying.
That option to do the...
Right.
No, I think it's still there. What I'm saying is, could they be ahead of the curve where we get that option where, hey, if you want Ian Eagle, but if you click this button, you get Breen and Clyde, and they do the entire postseason, but somehow ABC or ESPN doesn't lose viewership or whatever. They have to like strike a deal. Is there any path to that?
I would love that.
Gary, Keith, and Ron about the playoffs.
That's a good question.
I would love it. I've suggested this for years, that there should be different broadcast options. The problem is it costs more money. So whatever that company is, whether it's NBC, they're now paying six broadcasters instead of two. A compromise deal to that, though, Tommy, and I've talked about this in baseball. So you want to do this in the NBA, sure. But I've always thought in baseball that the broadcasters for playoff games should be a broadcaster from, let's say it's Yankees Twins,
right,
a Yankee broadcaster and a Twin broadcaster. If it's a Mets-Yankees World Series, well, then it's Keith Hernandez and Michael Kay. Or it's right. Gary Cohen and David Cohn.
Right.
Or whatever kind of combination you want to do. And they used to do that back in the day. That's what Beningo used to tell me, where they had the regular national announcer, and then they would bring in two analysts from the two teams that were playing.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Because there's just a local feel that you have to know. Because you're talking essentially, even though you're talking sometimes to the nation, you're talking essentially to two fan bases. And if you're not familiar, sometimes the broadcast sounds foreign.
Absolutely.
And so that's actually a smart way to think and go about it. But there's also these national broadcasters whose job it is, an analyst, to do that.
I know.
So they'd be out of jobs.
Yeah, me and Tommy are taking people's jobs. We're not nice.
No, I just want to provide options like Apple TV does,
yes,
where
yeah.
everybody keeps their job, but because we know about it with Gary, Keith, and Ron. Now, as Knicks fans, we get Mike Breen and obviously Nick Hader, Richard Jefferson, so you get that off balance, but not every fan gets that. And I'm sorry, when you do national broadcasts, they don't always know every little thing about the teams, and that frustrates us.
And he is right, though. I mean, I love RJ. Richard Jefferson is a known Knicks
fan. Oh, he's outward about
it. He's actually in the coalition. He's one of our most famous coalition members. True story. Frank's in Paramus, New Jersey. What's going on today, Frank?
So, Evan, very interesting. I definitely will say that when I heard Breen's call, I was Breen all the way because I went to college with Mike Breen.
Ah, biased.
And, I know Mike very well. I know Michael Kay. He was a year ahead of us. And then I heard Brunson Burner, and I completely changed my mind.
That's an honest man right there. That's a guy saying, I love Breen. I went to college with him. But, man, that Brunson Burner. Speaking of Mike Breen, tell me how you would have handled this. I'm leaving. It's got to be opening day. I'm leaving opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's definitely opening day, the home opener. I'm in the car. I got my dad in the passenger seat. I got my boy Jet in the back seat. And as we're leaving, Mike Breen is walking past my car.
Oh, yeah.
And so my dad says, ah, it's Breen. Why don't you roll down the window and say hello? And I'm like, what am I getting? Now, I've met Mike a handful of times. He's a wonderful guy. He's very nice.
Right.
He actually gave me advice once. We were at the Tom Coughlin charity dinner.
Oh, got it.
Hopefully you arrived early.
I was with my wife. I'm at the Tom Coughlin charity dinner, and they're announcing all the dignitaries and celebrities that are there. And for whatever reason, they included me.
Of course, yeah.
And
you
so when they
drive on WFAN.
It was before I was doing after.
Okay, whatever. You're midday on WFAN. Right.
So they say my name, and I'm like, I smile. And Mike comes up to me after me and says, Evan, I just want to give you some advice. The next time you're announced, just stand up and wave.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I would have felt so awkward.
All right.
And he's like, well, sitting down and looking is pretty awkward. <to look." laughs> And I was like, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. So he's a nice guy, but I don't know him that well. So was I supposed to scream out the
yes.
window, hey, Breeny, let's go Mets?
Yes.
I didn't do it.
You should have.
I passed out. Yeah. I didn't pass out. I passed on that decision. By the way, I've got a T-shirt created already, Stumbled and Humbled. It's a picture of Jalen Brunson getting ready to take that shot. And poor Sar Thompson laying on the ground. Crazy. One more call, and then I want to get to this huge break Tom Thibodeau got that I'm not sure everyone's aware of. Let's go to Chris in East Hanover. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Real quick, I wanted to mention two things. I've been watching a lot of basketball. Since when is moving screens and holding players legal? Because yeah. what went on in that game yesterday was unbelievable. It just blew my mind to watch it and be like, how are they letting this happen?
Right.
Clearly
it was a directive to let them play. Clearly. It was obvious.
I mean, obviously, because I've watched these other series and no one's doing it. These refs aren't calling. They're calling everything. They're not letting this go. But, secondarily on Brunson, too, he took 16 shots in the fourth.
Yeah, I think we lost you at that point, Chris. But yeah, he was very aggressive, and he missed most of them.
Right.
He began the fourth quarter a 1-for-11 clip. 1-for-11. And I guess it's a testament to Jalen Brunson that did not shy him away. Because down by 7 with 2.5 minutes to go as the Pistons are on a 20-2 run, and Jalen had just missed a 3, and before that had just missed a layup, Jalen Brunson's N1 banking mm-hmm. was the moment that kind of got them back in the game, pulled them within 4. But I'll tell you the play that changed everything. And I don't know what you thought of at the time. With about 50 seconds to go and a 1-point deficit, Durin was fouled by Karl Anthony Towns. Mm. And it was a clear foul.
Right.
And that was Karl's 6th. And he fouled out with 49.8 seconds to go. Duren missed his first free throw, made his second. Two-point game, 49 seconds to go. Cat is out, Mitch is in. On the Cade Cunningham miss, that was right before the Jalen Brunson three. Mm-hmm. Cade drove to the basket and basically put up a wild layup attempt.
Right, another one.
Mitchell Robinson impacted that play.
Right.
I don't know if Karl Anthony Towns is impacting
that
play.
No, there's no rim defender. And it's weird because we don't think about him because he hasn't played enough for us to think heavily about Mitchell Robinson and the impact that he has as an interior defender. But this is why so many people call for the double big, right? If you have them both out there, it allows Cat to be where he wants to on the perimeter, and you still have a rim protector and a rebounder offensively and defensively.
And who are you sitting in the fourth quarter if you have the two bigs on the floor?
Well, that's the challenge.
Josh, OG?
Probably Josh. Mm. Even though Josh made a big three-pointer in this game, especially in the second half. So you wonder what the options are, but if you're going to have teams kind of abuse you continually going into the paint, knowing that Cat sometimes will be there, probably won't, you need Mitch.
Yeah, you want to know what the option is? And it got taken care of. Mm. It's exactly what ended up happening.
Sit Cat.
Cat's on the floor. Cat's sitting down, well, Mitch is playing.
It made it easier. Not easier because...
Well, it did make it easier because it gave you no choice.
It gave you no choice, but he was also having a bad day.
Right, but that's... Look, in the fourth quarter of this game, what kind of impact did Karl Anthony Towns have?
Mm-hmm.
Other than him throwing away a pass when OG Anunoby's cutting to the basket and they miscommunicated with about 6 minutes to go.
Yeah.
The answer is he had no positive impact for the most part in the latter part of this game. And yet, he fouls out. Bridges has that tip in to tie the game up, and now the ball is in the hands of Cade Cunningham. And look, we're not doing a show in Detroit, but I'll tell you this, kid was not ready for the moment. Let's just call it like it is.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a while now.
And it continued in the latter part of this game. Like, I get how good Cade can be. Lugie and I made that bet on who's going to be the better player at some point. Well, the key word is at some point, because it ain't him now. Not after this series, not after this performance. But on that miss, right before the timeout and the Brunson three, I think that it's very different if Cat's on the floor. And so Thibodeau benefited greatly from Cat fouling out and the decision being simple to have a rim protector like Mitchell Robinson on the floor who clearly made an impact on that Cunningham drive.
Hey, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, they say.
100%.
Right? You don't have to coach your way if Cat fouls out for you.
Sometimes those foul calls that you're cursing at actually benefit you in a huge way. Alex in New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All's good. What's up?
Yo.
So, first thing I want to say is I want to apologize for Bad Alex calling yesterday and saying I wasn't going to get emotional. I just did all the emotion levels that I was going to have during that game. Excited, frustrated, pain, love, who knows? I mean, it was just a swing of everything.
No doubt.
And I'm not going to say the C word, but I am going to say I can't wait to hear CP. The franchise, come on your radio today and let them know Pops the Legend gave him a shout out.
Indeed. Yeah, CP will join us coming up at around 5 or so. And he does a great job after each Knick game. They got Knick Fan TV. He was fired up. He was great. I listened to a little bit of CP last night. He was fired up, but also expressed his concerns, which was the Knicks came very close to completely collapsing last night.
They should have been.
I mean, they gave up a 20-2 run in the fourth quarter.
Dude, at the first quarter, it felt like the Pistons are just, they didn't show up. They didn't come out of the locker room. And then all of a sudden, come back again. And the Knicks get a bigger lead. What is it, 11-point lead they got to again. And then here they go on this 20-something-2 run. The Knicks are so damn frustrating. They're so good at moments, and they're so damn frustrating at the same time.
And that's why you said this at the top, and it's a good point. Last night's game, in a lot of ways, showed you all the good and the bad of the New York Knicks this season. All the good that you love, the clutchness, especially late from Jalen Brunson, but then all the bad. I mean, giving up a 20-3 run in the fourth quarter, like, this could have been an epic Knicks loss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talk about how this may go down as one of those great Knicks victories, and I think a lot of it depends on your age,
right?
How much great Knicks basketball you've actually seen. If you're in your early 20s, yeah, it's going to be in the top five list. If you're 55 years old, you got a few more. If you're 75 years old, you have a lot more. But this game, and that's why last night was so ridiculous, like, I'm still shaking all these hours later, featured so many roller coaster rides that your head spins thinking about all the possibilities. Paul's in Newark, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, guys. Brunson is the Mariano Rivera of the NBA.
Mm.
I called yesterday saying, don't worry, guys. He's a closer. He's going to win this game tonight. But the closer's in the stands. He can't win the game for you.
Right.
The difference between game five and game six, he's sitting in the stands watching the game at the close of the game. Game six, he's in there doing his thing. And the other thing I got to say, the Detroit Pistons bench outscored the Knicks 31-6.
Yes.
Wow. Something's got to change there. That's horrible.
Yeah, that is it. When you start to look ahead, which you don't want to do yet. You want to enjoy the moment. That is one thing that's absolutely going to have to change moving forward. They need more out of their bench. Deuce McBride has not been great.
No.
Let's call it like it is. Their biggest producer off the bench, obviously for a very different reason, is Mitch.
Right.
In fact, as I just said, there are moments in which Mitch should be on the floor over Karl Anthony Towns because of the rim protection that he provides.
What did he play last? 13? Let's see.
He usually
13 minutes.
He usually ends up in that 17, 18 minute area, right. But you're right. He got to 13 last night. Big minutes from everybody else. And no one's complaining about that, by the way.
No, not in a closeout game.
Now, Mikal Bridges playing 45 minutes. That's cool. Nothing wrong with that. This is what you're waiting for.
Right.
This is the moment. Let's go to Bruce in Wyckoff. How are you, Bruce?
Living the dream, guys. Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
So, physical bout, right? Last year, same with Philly, real physical. Why don't we play Precious? We got this big, giant guy. We got Mitch, can't hit foul shots. As soon as they start doing the foul of Mitch, why aren't we using Precious? I heard rumors he got caught gambling, but I don't see what's going on.
Is that a real thing? Is that like a real rumor, or did you just make that up? Seriously.
I heard that somewhere.
Hold on a second.
Ago.
Sean, can you check the Google machine and see if there are any wild, outlandish rumors about Precious Achiuwa? Look, I think a part of this is trust. A part of this is, who does Tom Thibodeau trust off that bench? And the answer is two guys.
Yeah.
He trusts his Deuce, even though he has not played well. He still gets out there for 17, 18 minutes and is still capable of making big plays. And he obviously trusts Mitchell Robinson. Campaign he barely trusts. We saw Campaign make a big impact in game one and not much since. I time to play Campaign. That's a good one.
I was like, what?
I do think that in this next round against an opponent not to be named, you may have to open up the cookbook a little bit.
Yeah, I was just looking at the minutes he played throughout the entire season. It really was only in February where he had a stretch of playing 30-plus minutes. But after that, I don't know if it's a trust thing. Maybe it's a health thing. I don't know what it is. He played 39 minutes, though, at the beginning of April. So it's a good question because I like Precious. I think he surprised people in the middle of the season after missing the first month or so. But Tom Thibodeau is a creature of habit. He trusts who he trusts, and that's who's going to play in postseason games.
Sean Morash checked Google. There are zero rumors about Precious Achiuwa gambling.
At least on Twitter. And if it's not on Twitter, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. It doesn't even fit. By the way, one thing that is very, very important around here, coming up in the next 5-10 minutes or so, we will check in on our pre-series predictions we made for this Knicks series against the Pistons. Who is right? Who is wrong? Who is a hater? Who is way too positive? We'll get to it coming up in the next 10 minutes. Eddie's in Hicksville. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to also discuss the 2 points you guys already made. Once the Brunson play to win it, and also Mikal's dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched the Brunson play over and over and over again, like everybody else. And it's crazy because he goes so hard left, his strong side, stops on a dime, and you guys compared it to the Jordan play, what Jordan obviously pushes off.
Right.
Brunson actually goes behind his back between his legs. If you watch that play again,
right, now I gotta go watch it again.
Through his, it's crazy. And then Tiki, to your point, like getting the draft picks for Miguel from Evan.
Yeah.
Like that dunk was not only impressive, it was magical. He laid that jam down left-handed, bro.
Left-handed, and he didn't have it in his palm.
It was an incredible play.
It was like on his wrist.
It was an incredible play. I'm watching this Jaylen play again. It is amazing. He's backing into Thompson. Remember, Brunson's given off a couple of inches on him because he's got that size advantage. He's so long. Bridges comes over to set a screen, and yeah, Brunson just makes a crazy move and gets a wide, wide open look.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! And then Brunson so calmly does that annoying three-finger salute.
And he's just looking at his hand.
Right? And he's looking at the crowd, the same crowd that was chanting flopper, which we have to admit was a very good chant.
It was a good chant, but it didn't affect Jalen Brunson.
Well, I could argue that that chant, in fact, I've got some proof. Oh. That chant, here's the clip, here's an audio clip. This is the TNT broadcast of Ian Eagle describing the chant. I'll tell you when it was and how he actually did respond to the chant. But here's how it sounded on TNT last night.
Against the Pistons. If it stands. And right now, the Pistons fans are chanting, flopper, flopper.
I just love hearing Ian describe it. So that was during the play where Brunson was fouled and Detroit challenged it.
Yeah.
And he didn't foul. He flopped a little bit. It ruled into a jump ball, which the Knicks actually won. After that, Jalen Brunson, believe it or not, missed his next three shots. So it was not an immediate.
Three shots. It's all good.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just being accurate.
I know
about
what
this.
You're saying, but it's just three shots.
I get it. No, and that's the beauty of Jalen Brunson. He missed those shots. He still responded.
Right.
He still hit the big ones when it counted, but it wasn't like they did that chant with 5 minutes to go. It was deafening in Detroit, and Jalen decided, okay, now I'm turning it on.
Right.
But I give the Piston fan credit because I think sometimes in our town, we've gotten lazy with our chants, and I've said this before. Like chanting F. Trae Young or F. Altuve or F. Juan Soto, I mean, basically just putting an F in front of any person you don't want, I just don't think it has any creativity. That's why I've always said, hey, if you're going to chant to Trae Young, talk about his hairline. You know, do something
right.
Creative.
Make it creative. This was creative.
Now, it's not original, in fairness, because there have been chants of flopper before in the NBA. I think Gilgeous Alexander's had it happen before. James Harden's had it happen before. So it's not like it's been created by Detroit, but I like it better. So here's the mission, and it's a homework assignment. I don't think we should do this right now, but it's just put it in your mind. Have your weekend. Have a good time. When that team comes to town, the next opponent, the C-word team, if you will. Mm-hmm. When they come to town 1 week from tomorrow, what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. We're not just going to chant the F-word in front of player A. We call him Jason Tatum. Is that kind of saying the C-word in a way? I apologize. Player A, guy who's really good, whose last name has five letters. There needs to be something better than that. And that's on the Knicks fan. You got 8 days. Figure it out.
It's hard to do it with Tatum because his name doesn't fit the chant.
What do you mean?
It doesn't fit. How are you? What are you saying?
Well, it doesn't have to be. No, we don't want that. We want something else. Not F the player.
Right.
Something creative. It doesn't even have to involve his name. They weren't chanting anything at Brunson by name. They were calling him a flopper. That's it. What do you have? You say you got something already?
Yeah. At Kristaps, we never needed you. He won a title last year.
I know. That's a hard
so
one.
We have to find something that gets under the skin that's very sensitive to one of the players.
Oh, I got it.
Even how great they are.
But it's below the belt, and it's not classy.
So feed it to Sean. Feed it to me.
No, I'm thinking about it out loud. Wasn't Porzingis accused of like some terrible things while he was here? You don't want to touch that, right? That's awful.
I
don't want to get the victim involved.
Hairline, midsection, stuff like that is definitely in play.
Maybe something about Joe Mazzulla being really weird. Because he is really weird.
He is very weird.
But I think he would embrace that.
Yeah.
I think he likes that.
Joe Mazzulla was asked during the Orlando series, hey, do you think it's gotten out of hand with the physicality? And deadpan, he responded, no one's been arrested. I actually love that guy. Like, he's so funny.
That's actually a great response.
It's like, no one's been arrested.
What are you talking about?
Keep an eye on this. Once we get to the C-word team, the Boston Celtics, There's a lot of Joe Mazzulla comments before and after games that we're going to be analyzing because this guy is just a walking jukebox of fantastic quotes. There's been a reputation that Jaylen Brown has that he can't go left. It's been out there for years now. Like, yeah, can't go left. So, where's your left hand? Where's your...
Yeah. Until he roast you with his right.
There you go. Well, that's a look. When you taunt the guy, there's always a chance they're going to roast you. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Dan for that very creative idea. Now, before this Knicks series began against the Detroit Pistons, we all made predictions. And around here, we like to hold ourselves accountable on so said predictions. Mm-hmm. I do remember saying that there's no chance in hell the Knicks would lose to the Pistons. They put a little bit of a scare into me on that one.
Right.
So they did lose to the Pistons.
So there was a chance in hell. It just didn't really happen.
I would say since the Pistons never got the Knicks to an elimination game, that I was right. No chance in hell. I think we can stick with that.
Right, right.
I think that qualifies. But let's hear what all of us said. Obviously, the final result will Knicks in six. So, Tommy, at the accountability scoreboard, who should we listen to's prediction first?
Let's kick it off with Sean first, shall we?
Yeah.
Pistons in seven.
Ooh.
Pistons in seven.
I was so close. I mean, all I need was one more of the same Jalen Brunson possession where he couldn't get a shot off, and I was there, you know?
You were on your way. You were very, very close.
Hater.
Hater indeed.
Evan Roberts.
I'm going to go Knicks in five.
Yeah.
And I thought I had that one lined up because I didn't only say Knicks in five. I had the Knicks loss being at the Garden early. Like they were going to lose a game one or a game two. I wasn't sure. Then they were going to sweep in Detroit and close them out in game five. So if the Knicks didn't collapse in game five, I would have been right. I was very, very close.
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
Exactly. All right, Tiki Barber.
Knicks in six.
Ding.
Bang.
Is that bang. A double? Is that a double bang?
Well, you said one. I said one, so that's a double bang.
Double bang. We banged together.
It did.
Tell me.
The Knicks have dudes. The Knicks have dogs, and they will do damage, and they will win the series in six games.
Brunson Burner.
Look at you.
All right, so Tiki Barber and Tommy Lou Gower, you both get dueling victories. Congratulations. We will make our predictions for the next series coming up on Monday. A couple of thoughts on that final play. And then we'll get back to your phone calls. A lot of Knicks fans very giddy off of their victory last night. 888-808-1019. I watched it a few times. And obviously Malik Beasley is not going to be able to sleep this summer because he had a very good look to tie the game up. It appeared like the Knicks were trying to foul. And that when Cade Cunningham right. got the basketball, there was an attempt by Deuce McBride and one other. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Josh.
Was it Josh?
Well, Josh was the one hustling out to Malik. So I'm assuming. No, I think there was three guys.
Yeah, there were three guys. Josh was not the one right. trying to foul. Right. He was heading back towards Malik. It was Deuce and it may have been Mikel.
Right.
Now, it appeared we're looking to give Cade Cunningham the foul. Obviously, 3-point lead. At that point, there would have been about 2.5 to 3 seconds to go and force the Pistons to have to either make both foul again and right. put up a prayer or obviously make the first, miss the second, hope for a tip. And so for anyone who's pissed that the Knicks screwed the whole thing up, well, they almost did, but it did look like they were trying to give Cade the foul and Cade quickly was able to swing it to Beasley. Unfortunately for Beasley, he's got tiny little hands.
No, I think it was just hot. The pass was hot. It was screaming.
You got to make that play.
And Beasley wasn't quite ready for it because he was still moving to his spot. And by when he looked back, the ball was already there. Mm. So, timing. But again, this is Cade Cunningham not being in that moment yet.
Oh, dude, he was not ready.
He absolutely was.
It's not to knock the kid in terms of what he's going to do in the future because I still think he has a chance to be a great player and surpass Jalen Brunson as a player. But in this series, he was not ready for the moment.
As long as the team is built correctly around him, he's going to be fantastic. But if he gets to the point where it's just him and nobody else, which that's not where they're heading, I don't think. But if it ever gets that way, he's not going to carry a team by himself, but he is going to be a great player.
I think what this series reminds you for Detroit or for any other team is that in the NBA, you got to have that learning experience. I remember when one of the rare things I remember Sean told me with the Jets a few years ago was, they can't win anything because you got to lose in the playoffs before you win in the playoffs. And I don't necessarily agree with him when it comes to the NFL. Like, I think there are examples that I can certainly find. But in the NBA, you really do have to lose before you win. Like, that's the story. And even the Knicks have been involved in that.
Right, because it's not, I mean, Alex Smith was actually saying this yesterday when we had him in studio. Football is so unique because a coach has to call every play. And so you can almost coach yourself around some of the faults in your team. Right? You can design plays that are going to be successful, and you just know they're going to be as long as everything's executed. Basketball is not that way. Once the ball is in play, you're just kind of you're hoping your guys do the right things. And so if you don't have the experience in doing the right things, especially in critical moments like in the playoffs, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And so you can't be coached necessarily on each and every play.
The Oklahoma City Thunder, now, and even the Thunder with KD and Russ and Harden had to do this. You got to have your learning experiences. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, maybe you learn from it and you go all the way or you go to the NBA Finals. The Celtics are a great example of that. I mean, they had plenty of those learning experiences. Right. And look where they are now as a beast here in the NBA. I used that word, the C word, in a context that was not related to the next round. So I just want to exonerate myself from inappropriately using that word that I promised we would not use, at least to later in the show. Very different context. 888-808-1019. Barry in Edgewater, New Jersey. How you doing, Barry?
Hi, Evan and Tiki. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
All right. So I'm watching the game last night, which I say is the worst basketball game I've ever seen with the best ending I've ever seen.
Yeah, there were some ugly parts to it, Barry. You're right.
And I understand that you have not been around for 1970 to see all those championships, but you do like wrestling.
Yes.
So
yes.
I understand somewhat where you go, that game is not basketball. That was World Wrestling Federation. and I, as a basketball fan for many years, I resented what they are allowing to happen to the game. And I think the worst example was Bickerstaff. He was just, I mean, for him to be allowed to come out on the floor was just disgusting.
Well, but there's a couple things there, Barry. Number one, I disagree with you in terms of this is wrestling. This is wrestling. That was the 90s. Mm-hmm. The 90s that so many people, older people, love to talk glowingly about.
Right.
I actually disagree. I thought the 90s sucked. I don't mean the 90s in general. I think that today's basketball, and this is a controversial statement, please, Tommy, do not bang up the phone lines with people yelling at me about this because it's not the day for it, even though Tommy agrees with me. I think 90s basketball is one of the most overrated things in the world. I think today's basketball is better. And I know that's sacrilegious. A lot of people would disagree with that. But that's wrestling, what they allowed. And I respect those who disagree with me on it. But to talk about last night as, I resent that. They let too much go. I mean, they let some stuff go, but let's not act like it was 1996, because it wasn't. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I forgot number two.
He said Bickerstaff should not be allowed to come on the court. He got a T for it, so he's not allowed.
Yeah, so Mike Breen called him out pretty roughly, because Breen is, he's a good dude. But he came out and said, I've never seen a coach act like this. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing here, but he called out the whining and the complaining of J.B. Bickerstaff. What you don't want to have happen, and I agree with the officials on this, you don't want to let technicals and ejections affect a game six.
Yeah, you don't want it to become the game.
Right.
You don't want the talking point. Now, they're not thinking about this in real time, but you got to realize that something that's unrelated to the play on the court can't be determinant of the outcome of the game. That's, I think, it's clear in every sport. It's why, you get all these debates about what should be a foul, what should be reviewable in all these sports. And so J.B. Bickerstaff kind of was injecting himself in. And maybe it was because he felt his team not having control, and it was the only thing he thought he could do, but it's a bad look.
It was a terrible look. He looked like a big crybaby. I thought he handled himself really well after the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he put everybody over, including Jalen Brunson. But yeah, he was a whining baby, but I wasn't sitting there thinking, boy, they got to throw him out and give him the two techs, because I don't want a playoff game affected by that. Mm-hmm. So I don't resent it. It was obnoxious. I agree.
Just sit down.
But just sit down. And eventually he did. And the game was able to move on. Right. And it didn't impact the outcome of the game. Let's go to Robert in Stamford. How you doing today, Robert?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, dude?
One thing about the 90s, though, is I think it's better because everybody plays their position still. Like, now, you don't know what the hell a center is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but anyway, with the with Brunson's game, what I love about it so much is, to me, he's like a poor man's Iverson. Iverson went to the hole at will. He was more flashy. But Brunson, he likes the contact, that little bump he needs to clear space. You know what I'm saying? And it always works. But I want one more comment about Brandon Tierney. I don't know if you guys are listening to, about his vernacular and the hard words he uses and stuff.
I would love to hear
him and Clyde Drexler doing a game together. That would be the ultimate. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to just listen to
and
you.
And I'm sure BT would be up for that. He'd be like, great. I'll put my vernacular up against Clyde and see how it sounds.
What the hell do I know?
Let's go to Doug in Saddlebrook. Good afternoon, Doug.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Fishy. I just wanted to go back a little bit when you said that, you know, the Knicks, this is going to be a game that they're going to remember. I really don't think so. Now, just to let you know, I'm not a Knicks fan, but I am a basketball fan. Mm-hmm. And what there seems like they're doing is, like, they're modeling the Pittsburgh Steelers, where it's okay just to make the playoffs, keep the fan base happy, but you just win one game or one series, and that's it. You're one and done. Maybe you get to the second round.
But I don't. I think you're missing
building.
Doug, yeah. You're not a Knicks fan like I'm not, so we're talking about other people. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about other people to their face. Tommy and Tiki, because I guess you're a Knicks fan, mm-hmm. I think. I don't think you guys are okay with getting knocked out in the second round of the playoffs. If that's your prediction, our last callers, sure, that's going to be a lot of people's predictions. But to say that Knicks fans are just content with, oh, we made the playoffs and we won a round, then you aren't listening to Knicks fans. Because most Knicks fans yesterday were basically depressed.
Right.
And I had to be positive heavy because even those who thought they would win were like, well, even if we win, we're going to get smoked by the C-words.
By the way, this is the conversation that Steeler fans are having. This is why they want to fire Mike Tomlin almost every single year, despite winning sometimes double-digit games and getting into the postseason, like he does every single year of his entire career as a head coach. But they don't have real chances to win. So, I know what he's trying to say, but he's acting like the Pittsburgh Steeler fan is satisfied with winning seasons.
No, he's saying the Knicks fan is satisfied with winning seasons, and I don't think that's the case. I think last year it was the case, but I don't think that's the case right now.
I think Knicks fans
are itching.
I think Knicks fans were pissed off last year.
No, they weren't. They celebrated. This year they'll be pissed off. Okay. They're different people this year.
It's not the Mets throwing a parade for having to walk down the Canyon of Heroes for getting to the NLCS.
What does that have to do with it?
That's what Sevelin suggested. Didn't
okay.
They
but Knicks right. fans were celebrating their 7-game series loss. Tommy even said they never actually lost. They lost to attrition.
I think that was last year. Knicks fans were understanding of why they couldn't go any farther last year.
They were accepting.
I don't think they were happy about it. They were just understanding.
And they're not going to be this year.
Well, if they get beat up and guys can't play, of course it's going to be the same thing.
And that's why our last caller's point is dead wrong, because he's accusing Knicks fans of accepting mediocrity. They're not.
I don't think so.
It's why a lot of Knicks fans yesterday couldn't even get that fired up for the game, because they had this attitude of, well, even if we win, we're going to get smoked in the next round.
But you don't know that.
Well, of course we don't know that. There's also a lot of factors that could occur once this next series begins that no one's taking into account. But I think it's wrong to just say that the Knicks fan is accepting mediocrity. If they lose in the next round, there will be calls on this radio station, maybe from some of us, to change the head coach. That's not accepting mediocrity.
I'm past that.
Well, that's you, but you don't think others will?
If he lost this round, then there's a problem.
But don't you think others will?
See, they're supposed to lose this next series.
I agree.
None of us are going to pick, maybe Tommy, but none of us are going to pick them to win against them.
But it doesn't mean that people are going to accept that mediocrity like he's suggesting.
Well,
even if they're supposed to lose.
I think so much of it depends on what they look like. If they're just completely inept and outmatched and get swept in 4 games and lose by 30 in each game, then maybe people call for Tibbs' job. But absent that, and I don't think it will be that because I don't think they're soft like that, you're just going to accept the Celtics are better.
Some will, some won't. Some will. Right. I mean, I'm not arguing with you that you're wrong in what you're saying. I'm arguing with you that there won't be Knicks fans who say, hey, we've lost in the second round 3 straight years.
Right.
Take out the reasons why we've lost in the second round 3 straight years. That's not good enough. Is this guy getting us to the next level? And that's the contradiction that I make with that last caller who's saying Knicks fans are okay with it. I don't think that they are.
No, they're not okay with it. It becomes a discussion if it feels like Coach Thibodeau is not the guy to take them to the next stage. Because there's every team goes through this, right? You either break through or you get fired and someone else comes and handles it.
Now you
mentioned, you only have so many years
right.
with your window open to do so.
Eventually, The time is up.
Yes.
Steve's calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, I want to give Monica McNutt her flowers. I heard during the regular season she used the phrase Brunson burner at least a month and a half
ago. Really? So I stole it from Monica?
Wow.
Maybe you didn't realize it, or I don't know if she found it. Or someone else did.
Great minds think alike. Mm-hmm. That's possible.
It's a fairly obvious phrase to use, though.
Yeah, I guess it's obvious.
But it really is.
It's a part of Ian and his beauty is that he does that a lot, like names and things that fit. But Monica McNutt does an outstanding job, so if she had it first, I would at least like to take a 30 seconds here on WFN to say, good job, Monica. And excellent work.
I got a
Ian Eagle ripped it off.
I got a pushback, and this could be a credit to Monica anyway, that it's an obvious one to use after you hear it, and you're like, that's genius.
Yeah.
Because when we all heard Ian say it, we were like, wow, that's amazing. You know what I mean?
So what does that mean?
It means if Monica came up with it first, it's not that obvious. It's unbelievable. It doesn't mean Ian stole it, but let's stop pretending it's so obvious. Because
okay.
We wouldn't have been stunned.
I give you that. I don't think it's obvious.
When Ian said it, we were like, that's genius.
I'm going to lean towards great minds think alike. I think Ian's brilliant.
Yeah, I agree.
He's been doing this for many years. I think Monica does a great job. And I just think it's two people thought of the same idea. I'm not starting any fights. I'm not doing that. I love them both.
I think is that something that you've pre-thought about, though? Even if you haven't said it publicly. Do you saying, how do I... Jalen Brunson's heating up. What do I, how do I rhyme that?
Yes.
Or how do I get that to make sense? Or is it just spur of the moment?
No.
I'm so creative that it just pops into my head.
I think you think about it. I think Clyde's rhymes are thought about, though. And get this queued up, Tommy. So we played earlier, if you missed it, about an hour ago, the Mike Breen call, the Ian Eagle call. Walt Clyde Frazier had a rhyme at the end of the Mike Breen call on the Jalen Brunson 3. And I want you to listen carefully. You could tell this was not pre-planned. That this was Walt Clyde Frazier having this brain orgasmic moment all live on TV as it was going through his brain of, oh, right. This is brilliant. Take a listen.
Stumbles and Brunson humbles him.
Like, he's talking about Thompson stumbling, and you could hear him think, oh, wow.
He's and Brunson humbles him.
I got one queued up. Because obviously that's not something you're planning out.
No.
Stumbling and then being humbled?
Well, yeah, so because I think he usually follows stumbles with bumbling or something like that.
Which he's done before.
Right, but it didn't fit. The context wasn't right. So he had to readjust in real time.
Exactly.
And he nailed it.
That was a real live Walt Clyde Frazier thought session that you just heard.
Uh-huh.
And it was brilliant. Ray in Brooklyn is pumped up. What's up, Ray?
How you doing, guys? How you doing, Evan? Thank you, Tommy.
Good.
Love you guys.
Thank you,
love
man.
The show. You had a caller a while ago. He referred to Jalen Brunson as the Mariano Rivera. Really? I'd have made that reference, too, but Evan pointed it out. You started the fourth quarter, what, 1-for-11?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's not good. That reference did not hold water.
Well, the only way it would hold water is if Mariano Rivera loaded the bases up with nobody out.
Right.
And then struck out the side, which he's done before. Mm. Look, baseball and basketball are very, very tough to compare because I have to admit, last night as Jalen Brunson was having his moments, I thought of somebody.
The bad moments.
The good moments, actually.
The good moments.
When he had the good moments, I thought of one person on this show. You know who I thought of?
Who?
Not you.
Sean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the reason I thought of Sean was the debate, the Aaron Judge, Jalen Brunson debate. And I believe Jalen Brunson is the king of New York City. And I have said that for many months. Actually, it's over a year now. And the mayor obviously declared that a while ago. That's old news. If you're not familiar with it, Google it. You'll find it. Just make sure you include Evan and Tiki, and then you'll see that the mayor declared Jalen Brunson's the king. And I thought about one of the arguments we use against Sean is that, well, Aaron Judge doesn't come up clutch. He doesn't have these moments. The difference, though, last night that I understand Sean making, because it's true, is the nature of the sport.
Definitely.
Aaron Judge took an offer. So did Jalen Brunson. But in the NBA, you get enough opportunities to make up for the offers. So it would be like Aaron Judge, instead of getting, 24 at-bats in a series, he got 60 at-bats in a series. And he kept getting opportunities.
Yeah.
And in the fourth quarter, to be fair, Jalen Brunson missed on a lot of his opportunities. Like I pointed out, 1-for-11 to start. But then you gave him just enough time to come through.
I'm so glad you said this, Evan, because this is not to diminish. That last shot was amazing. But as I sat there on the couch last night watching this unfold, when Jalen Brunson, forget all the other stuff that happened in the fourth, could not get that shot off, what was it, a minute earlier, I said to myself, if the Knicks lose this game, that is Aaron Judge dropping the ball in center field. But unlike dropping the ball, Aaron Judge could have not had a ball hit to him the rest of the game. Yeah, bats come,
right,
or whatever.
He doesn't get a chance to make it up.
The very next possession, Jalen Brunson can control having the ball in his hands to make up for it. You can't do that in baseball. So when we have the King of New York debate,
right,
it's not a fair apples to oranges fight to take it away from a baseball player because of what Jalen Brunson is able to do physically you can't do in baseball.
Right. You mean apples to apples fight.
Yeah, whatever, fruits. It doesn't matter.
I know what you're saying. But Mariano can.
Yeah.
Mariano can't. Just like, remember, he can have a bad outing and then make it into a great outing.
Yeah, the difference, though, is, remember, the Mariano comparison isn't who's better. Yeah, obviously, it's just, Mariano
it's
is...
It's closing the game.
Exactly. It's just the closing aspect of it. That's all.
If Jalen Brunson doesn't make that shot last night, mm-hmm. we're in a different universe. Are we not today talking about, can you believe the King couldn't get that shot off?
If Jalen Brunson doesn't make that shot, the criticisms that mm-hmm. Tiki and Loogie, NCP, laid at the feet of Jalen Brunson just a few games ago would have been reignited on a Brunson burner.
Right.
That's what would have happened. They nice were talking about dominating. Thank you.
That's original, Ev.
They would have talked about dominating the basketball.
Oh, that was McNutt.
His usage percentage, how selfish he is, iso ball. The same stuff would have been said just in an, because you would have been angry because, like, right. you even said, oh, you didn't win.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Aaron Judge, currently, we're in May. What is he hitting? What's his average?
427.
What is his career postseason average? 205. Interesting. Very interesting. When he sees good pitching, when the pitching gets better in October, he shrinks.
Actually, it's more managers don't pitch to him.
What about the fly ball that he dropped?
Well, they do pitch to him. That's the biggest problem. Right. They pitched to him way too
last
much.
Last year they did.
What is Jalen Brunson's career batting average being the star of a team getting him to an Eastern
Conference? Jalen Brunson already has two iconic moments in the playoffs. I'll sit around and wait for the Aaron Judge ones.
You know what? I'm going to preemptively call something.
Yeah.
If and when the C word eliminates the Knicks, I'm down for a Lou Gehrig debate series on this King of New York stuff again.
You got it.
So you're waiting for them to lose for you to have the debate? You won't have it now after a Brunson performance?
Because let it happen.
He doesn't have the ammo.
Yeah, I need it to actually happen again.
I got something to help you out. Now, I think Jalen's the King of New York, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I want to help out your point because it is interesting. Tommy brought up Aaron Judge's career average or his average this season and what he's done in the postseason. Do you have those numbers in front of you?
427. Currently, he's 205 postseason.
Okay. So clearly, he's not been the same player in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I could do the same thing with Jalen Brunson's stats in the postseason. As a New York Knick, he is shooting 45% from the field in the postseason. During the regular season, it's 49%.
Ooh.
From three during the regular season as a Knick, it is 40%. In the postseason, it's 32%. So the numbers, if you're going by stats, do not back you up. Now, Jalen's the king, and he's right. had more epic moments than Judge, but you cited stats.
But 45% is not bad from the field.
But 32% is.
From three-point range.
Like, the efficiency numbers are not as good as they are in the regular season, and that's the point Tommy's making about Judge. I'm just being fair about this.
Yeah.
I'm being independent here.
Yeah,
I swear.
But 32% is like slightly below average. 205 is Mendoza line.
So you're saying the drop-off is far worse for Judge.
100%.
Which I would agree with, but the point is there is still a drop-off from the regular season to the postseason if you're looking at those stats. And that's what Tommy brought up. I just want to be fair.
Yeah, but think about the percentage. I mean, it's 50% for Judge. It's a 50%. He's in 4-something right now.
Well, we can't count that as the number.
Okay, what's his career average? 300?
What's his career average? Use that. That's fine.
Give
use that then.
Here.
298.
Hold on, sorry. Didn't have it up.
Right.
Look.
Give me a minute.
Aaron,
how come
here?
I had to make this argument for you, Sean? You weren't prepared for Jalen Brunson's
292 career average. Right.
I'll also say in stats, Aaron Judge's stats in carrying the Yankees last year with that amazing regular season got him the one seed, which skipped around in the baseball postseason.
But here's where...
Set up going to a World Series. I saw the Cavs earn a one seed with their stars this year. Brunson, be better in the regular season to get the one seed.
Here's the way you would lose. If I said, and we actually can do this. Mm-hmm. This is actually totally fine. It's a kind of an alteration of a Lou Gehrig debate series. If I said to Tommy, hey, I'm going to give you an hour. Think about it, obviously. I want you to do a Cinco on the top five Jalen Brunson postseason moments. You put that together, however you want to rank it. Yeah. And then I said to Sean, hey, can you do the same thing for Aaron Judge?
You know what? Actually, it'd be really easy because I could do it and just know that we always melt down about those early ones. He's had plenty of division series moments like Jalen Brunson has early in the postseason because he doesn't get to those.
It sounds like I'm hating on Aaron Judge. In fact, I'm not. I'm complimenting him. He is, in many ways, this generation's Babe Ruth. But I'm sorry, he stinks in October. You can give me a division series against the Twins where you and I would hit 300. He doesn't get it done in the big moment. He doesn't.
You heard it, Tommy. I'm on your side. I don't like what you just said, because think about what you just said, Teague. He said, I'll give you a division series against the Twins. Well, right. Sean could respond, I'll give you a first round against the Pistons.
I don't even know if he has it against the Twins. I'm just saying I'd give it to you.
Yeah.
Look, I know, but right. You just it's mocked not, a division series against the Twins. He's going to respond with a first round against the Pistons.
This right. is not disparage Jalen Brunson Day. But Jalen Brunson is just not as good a player in the NBA as judges in baseball, and the conversation ends there.
You're right about that.
No, you're right. But in the postseason?
Exactly.
He doesn't play in conference finals or NBA finals. It's a big deal.
He hasn't got there. How many chances has he had?
And Judge has gotten there like 15 times now, which just gives us a bigger sample size for him to fail in those spots.
He's gotten the four ALCSs and one World Series. Let's just get the facts
five
right.
series that Jalen hasn't touched, which has hurt Judge's numbers because he's played there.
Right. I understand.
But what's he done there? That's the question.
Look,
at least he's been there.
I understand you're very upset. The king is the king. And last night was another example. He's the king. And maybe someday Aaron Judge can get to that point. I'm sorry. I feel bad.